Shalom, and welcome to In the Beginning. My name is Shmuel Bowman, and I am a Torah scribe.
Hey, Yov.
Hey, Abba.
Okay, we're back.
We're back. It's been an intermission of about a few weeks, and we have some new listeners now, some people from the Shvil, your Shvil brothers and sisters, Welcome aboard.
Welcome. Okay, let's jump in. Where is it here? This one here, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's this one right here.
Mishnah 5. In blessed memory of Zeta, Rav Yitzchak Ben Israel.
My dad. Blessed memory. Sweet man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take it there. Let's go.
All right. Should I read Hebrew?
Sure. Yeah. You start with the Hebrew.
Okay. Yosef ben Yochanan, ish Yerushalayim, omer. Yihi veitcha fatuach lirvacha, v'yu aniyim v'nei veitecha, v'al tarbe sicha im ha'isha. Be'ishto amru, kal v'chomer be'eshet chavero. Mikan amru chachamim, כל זמן שאדם הרבה שיחה עם האישה, גורם רע לעצמו, ובוטל מדברי תורה, וסופו יורש גיהנום.
So, I think we also need to just, before we kind of uncomplicate this, is we need to remember, this is Pirkei Avot. Mm-hmm. This is wisdom from the leading scholars, the leading rabbis from 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
The challenge is always to see, is there wisdom? Does it endure? I mean, was it for their time only, or was it something that we can really employ today? And I think that that's always very much the challenge. So as we can keep that in the back of my mind,
for
these
sure.
are, that these are the rabbis, these are the leaders. These are the people you go to, the go-to people.
Right. And I think also seeing the larger context of all this, Yosef ben Yochanan, Why do we care what he has to say? We care what he has to say because he's continuing the lineage of Torah all the way from Mount Sinai down to you and me sitting here in 2024 in a room in modern Efrat.
Right.
So it's not just him as a person saying, you know what, I think so-and-so. To him, this is the embodiment of the Torah, which is eternal. And this is how it is maybe at his time, but definitely the principles he's laying down here are eternal.
Right. So first thing is that we have his business card. He is Yossi ben Yochanan, right? Yossi, the son of Yochanan. Mm-hmm. Ish Yerushalayim. He's actually from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. We have his address on the business card. He's from Jerusalem.
Right.
And
by the way, I just have to say, you know, it's, you'd think that if someone was so great, you'd call him rabbi. And yet all the people we're quoting here by name, we don't say rabbi before their name.
True, eh?
So it's very interesting that in the hierarchy levels, above rabbi is not the rabbi, just the name.
Right.
And that shows, I think, another level. Like, he's so great that there's no need even to introduce him as rabbi.
Wow. You know, I had a friend of mine in Toronto who is a rabbi, who was a rabbi there.
Mm-hmm.
He since moved to Israel. And he used to say, he says, I'm ashamed to be called a rabbi. I'm ashamed. He says, y'all calling me rabbi. He says, I'm a nothing compared to the great rabbis who were never called rabbis.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Beautiful.
So that's a very good point on that. Okay. So he's from Jerusalem. So we have his address.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's he saying? He's saying, let your house be open, open wide, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To who? To the poor people, poor members, but the poor members of your household.
You know, this kind of reminds me, is it possible? Can we scroll up to the previous Mishnah?
Sure.
There's something else about a house.
We're using Safari. Oh. By the way, just wanted to, when you say scrolling up, for those who can't see what we're doing, we're using Safari. Mm-hmm. You could use anything. We could open up any book that we want to. Also, Pirkei Avot is in the back of, often in the back of a Siddur of a prayer book.
Yeah.
But I just want to say a shout out to Safaria. What a great program. It's something that everyone can get. You can have it on your computer and you can have it on your phone. I'm not getting any royalties from them. It's the opposite, actually. Yeah. We actually make a monthly donation in memory of Zeta.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the opposite. So, but I just want to say it's, we can really good scroll and we can do fun things with this. Okay. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I thought this was the case. The previous Mishnah also mentions Yosef ben Yochanan and also his friend, Yosef ben Yoezer. And we quoted Yosef ben Yoezer before, and he also talked about a house. But who does he want to have in his house? He wants to have the righteous, no, what does it say? The meeting of the sages. So he talks about the significance of welcoming the sages into your house. And Yosef ben Yochanan chose a different approach. And he says, oh, the poor people, they should be in your house. So I thought that was interesting.
That's very, very interesting. It's also interesting that there is this link, right, between the readings.
Yeah.
That it's not like, on the one hand, they can be read as standalone, but on the other hand, as for you sure. say, you got to look back and you got to say, wait a second, where we've met this guy before.
Right.
Okay. So he wants to open his house to the poor. Okay. Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's,
it makes me think that, you know, when you open your home to the poor who are already living in your home, in other words, to the poor members of your household, mm-hmm. like to your staff, it almost sounds like, you know, you're, whatever your situation is, you don't have to be rich. You can be just rich enough mm-hmm. to be able to hire somebody.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
It could be hiring anybody. And, the question is, do you treat that person just like as a worker, as the cleaning person, as the tradesman, mm-hmm. or do you actually connect with them as a human being and say, no, you're my home and you're welcome here.
Hmm.
You know?
Right.
That's really
right. And I think if I'm reading this, maybe can we be a little bit unorthodox?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's as we usually do. Yeah.
Okay. Two orthodox guys here being unorthodox. Mm-hmm. Nothing to see. Mm-hmm. In Hebrew, it says you anim bnei vetecha, which you could read, as we said earlier, you know, have the poor be like your household member. Like that's the focus is on the poor people. Or you can say, let your house members be poor. In other words, don't focus so much on materialistic assets and, you know, don't think that you need everything that you want, but, you know, just focus on your basic needs and maybe invest your money in doing other good things.
Wow. I like that.
Maybe he's a bit of a socialist.
Yeah. That's so cool because here he's writing, what, 2,000 years ago, a little bit more?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit more or less.
All the ideas are there.
And yeah, I mean, the fact that we can still connect with this today, it's very, very, very cool. Yeah. All right, carry on.
All right. And here comes the good part.
Okay.
Okay.
And I bet, by the way, I think it's not a next point. It's actually kind of like it flows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay. Valter be'sicha im ha'isha.
Yeah.
Do not talk too much with
the woman.
With the woman.
That's what it said.
The woman or with women in general? I mean, is this
I think
the
it's,
woman or is it?
So I think it's the woman. I think when he says the woman, he says the wife, because afterwards it continues and says, this was said in regard to one's own wife.
Mm.
How much does it more right apply in regard to another man's wife?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I heard an interesting. You know, obviously, I think the subtext here that everyone's thinking is like, oh, the chauvinistic rabbi living 2,000 years ago telling you not to talk to women. I think there's different ways of looking at this. First of all, it is possible that at the time women in general worldwide were less educated. If someone is trying to, you know, be around, as he was saying before, around the sages, so it's kind of like, don't waste your time talking to someone who's not educated.
Mm-hmm.
It could be understood in that sense. Obviously, an unfortunate situation, but I guess you're looking at the situation and seeing what to make of it. Another approach I heard, which I found beautiful, was from a rabbi from here, from Alon Shavut. His name escapes me at the moment, but he says, "Al tarbes sicha im ha'isha," which means don't talk a lot to the woman. What should you be doing? You should be listening.
Oh, wow.
You should be listening to
Wow.
And I thought that was nice. But that's what I think when I read this.
Wow, that's an interesting take. Wow. Okay. In other words, exactly. That actually is very interesting. There was like a cartoon or whatever it was, like a satire cartoon. And it's a man and woman on a date.
Mm-hmm.
It was by a cartoonist named Pfeiffer. Actually, by the way, one of Zeta's, my dad's, one of his favorite cartoonists.
Really?
Yeah, satirical cartoonist. His name is Pfeiffer. And it's a man and woman on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him and he's going, me, 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 me. She's listening and he's going, me, 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 me.
Yeah.
And then she goes, I, and he yawns.
Oh.
Right. So kind of like shows this, like all he wants to do is talk about himself. And the moment that she wants to talk about herself, even let out one peep, he yawns.
He can't handle that.
So clearly this idea isn't just a Jewish idea, and it's not just a 2,000-year-old idea, but it's an idea that, you know, what did you've talked about men are from Mars,
women from Venus. Yeah.
There are differences.
There are differences. Yeah.
And the fact is that listening is very, very, very important. That's a very big thing. And men generally could do a lot better at listening.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. And speaking of the book, so that's the book I'm reading now, Men from Mars, Women from Venus.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main points he carries on that book, is that the reason men have a hard time listening is because they think they're expected to solve the problems the woman is posing. And in reality, when she's talking, she just really wants to share and receive that kind of support, but not that you'll fix her problems. So that's interesting. Apropos that.
Yeah. Wow. That kind of makes me think that maybe the next leader of our country here should be a woman, so that we can, you know,
listen.
Yeah, we can do a lot more. I mean, again, I'm not saying anything political. I'm not knocking anybody. Mm. Not at all. And everybody should live and be well. But it's time for women to, you know, women to take the top seats, I think, in this country, perhaps in every country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is.
That's that part. Now, so, okay. Nevertheless, it is a rather, controversial line. And it could very well be possible that we are, from our perspective, getting a little bit of an insight into 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And as you say, a world in terms of literacy dominated by men.
For sure. And I think also, like, on the historical, like, feminist perspective, there's a very interesting curse that the woman receives back in the first book of Genesis, in the first chapter or second. And this is after they eat from the forbidden fruit. Each of them receives a curse. So the man's curse was to work hard, to toil. Used to be able just to pick food off of trees, and that was it. Now look at us working, you know, our tochas is off till 9, 10 p.m. sometimes.
Well, tell me about it.
It's so hard, right. You know. And for women, so they received two curses. One of them was that it's going to be painful for her to give birth.
Mm.
Boy, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
So they say. Yeah. And the second curse she received is that her lust will be to the man, and the man will rule her. So these are all curses, right? Now, here's the beautiful part. Over the past, I don't know how many thousand years since then, humanity has been actually working on each of these curses, trying to eliminate them and slowly actually being successful. The man isn't working as hard as he used to be. He used to literally break your back in the field. We don't do that anymore. The woman, I mean, don't kill me afterwards, but it's easier to give birth today.
Well, there's a lot of medication.
Medication, epidural.
So that, yeah.
Women aren't dying as much.
Right,
you know,
right.
What I'm saying is we've come a long way. And with the third aspect too, the fact of the woman being ruled by the man. So you see the whole feminist movement has really overthrown that. And slowly, you know, women are coming a huge way since, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, even 20 years ago. So I think in all this sense, we could really see the historical perspective as well.
Right. This is what Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu, the chief rabbi of Tzfat.
Yeah.
Great man. Great, great man. Calls this one of the great revolutions of humanity, mm-hmm. in terms of the revolution of you know, of feminism.
Mm.
You know, this is a very religious, ultra-Orthodox man.
Yeah,
you know, everything, and talking about how feminism is a fantastic revolution in humanity. So I think that's mm-hmm. really, really interesting.
Amazing.
All right, let's continue here.
Yeah.
So therefore the idea is that, you know, so don't say much to your own wife, and then how much more so to another man's wife.
That's understandable.
Okay. Where are we?
From here.
Mekan Aruch HaChamim.
Yeah, from here the sages said.
As long. Kolzman Shadam Marbe Sichayim Isha Goram Ra Goram.
Goram Ra Latzmo.
Latzmo. What ubotel midivrei Torah b'sofo yoresh gehenom. Okay, so let's just kind of, like, again, let's kind of navigate our way through this. the Chachamim, the sages, the rabbis, the wise people have said that as long as a man is involved in too much conversation with the woman, again, whether it's talking about this in the singular or the plural, it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to him? He brings bad things to himself. He brings brings evil to himself.
Yeah.
Why? Because he winds up neglecting the study of Torah, right? And in the end, he will inherit, or he will come into Gehenna, which is hell.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this is exactly kind of what I thought about earlier. I think this kind of proves that point. What's the problem with talking to the woman? It says causes evil to himself. He neglects the study of the Torah because she doesn't know Torah.
Mm-hmm.
He could be spending that time better studying Torah with the men, sages, instead of talking to the woman. And therefore, instead of going to heaven, he would inherit Gehenna, which is hell. So maybe it's from that perspective, based on the historical background of women being illiterate and not learned at the time, that it's better for him to spend his time not with the woman.
In other words, if we kind of like almost reword this, because the study of Torah is seen to be such a high value, such an important thing, that because it's such an important thing, then if you wind up having too much conversation with those who do not study Torah,
right, whoever they are,
whoever they happen to be,
exactly,
that's going to take away from that value of studying Torah. And that way, and since the study of Torah leads you to heaven, then the opposite will happen and you'll wind up in the other place.
Right. And something about he threw in this idea about not speaking to another man's wife, which does also make me think that it's not just about the learning Torah. There's also some kind of concern about what's wrong about speaking to your wife? You know, today we don't see that as a bad thing. On the contrary, that's something that you should do.
Right.
If you're not doing that, you're not being a good husband. And if you're not doing that with someone else's wife, okay, there are ways, there are definitely boundaries you should respect, but you're just not friendly. So that's not how we see things today.
Mm-hmm.
And it is possible, and it'd be interesting to maybe learn more about Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim. Maybe he was a more conservative rabbi in that sense. And Judaism, what's beautiful about Judaism, you know, two Jews, three opinions.
Right.
There's so many. And while you look at most of the opinions in Judaism, they are more what we'd receive today as mainstream and let's say more healthy almost in that way. Other forms of Judaism will focus more on, you know, being pure, you know, Puritan and like only Torah learning and isolating yourself from the pleasure of this world. And it could be that he's coming from that approach, and that's fine.
I know. I love that idea. And the very fact that, as you say, two Jews, three opinions, right? Or you put it in more kind of in a, put it in the way of saying that it's you know, Torah study coming to these conclusions is not monolithic. In other words, we don't have one. There's not one conclusion.
Right. This is not Judaism. What this Judaism
is,
has to say.
Exactly. This isn't the
voices.
Right. This isn't like exactly. This isn't the definitive idea.
Right.
This is an idea.
Yeah.
And as you say, this idea actually may be very appealing to some people.
Yeah.
Not to everybody, but some people. And for those people who it's appealing to, they can go, oh, you know what? There's a hook here. This is something that I can connect with.
Right.
By the way, as you're saying this, I'm also thinking that it would also apply for some women.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there may be some women who are saying, you know what I want from my husband? I want my husband to be studying Torah as much as possible.
Right.
As much as possible. And I want to make sure that he feels comfortable enough to do that and feels that he, you know, I'm fine. I got my stuff to do.
Exactly. I have my friends.
I got my friends.
I have my hobbies. I have my work.
And I'm out there, you know, healing the world.
Yeah.
And I'm out there, developing educational programs. And I'm out there leading social services. And I'm out there involved in advocacy and you know, championing women's rights and children's rights and, you know, and so on and so on and so on, and doing amazing, amazing, and involved in business, you know,
right?
Right.
She's the ultimate woman of valor. She's doing it all.
Woman of valor. She's up there and she's, you know, she's baking and she's cooking and she's in the business world. I mean, she's really busy.
Right.
And she may be saying, Hey, husband, I'm fine.
Right.
I got my stuff to do.
Right.
And you know what you need to be doing? Mm-hmm. You need to be learning Torah.
Right.
And as a result, don't forget the chit chat with me.
Right.
And especially don't chit chat with my gals.
Right.
Okay. Go get into the yeshiva and just study. Now, again, there isn't one way regarding Judaism, but this might very well be for some people a way. It's also very interesting, I think, that if you think about it, Yossi ben Yochanan, a man of Jerusalem, if I'm not mistaken, Jerusalem and the Galilee had a little bit of...
There was a difference. I was thinking that too, and I don't know. I'm not enough, knowledgeable about the history, but is it possible that a more maybe extreme and or a different kind of community lived in Jerusalem?
Right. It could be a very different kind of worldview.
Yeah, different Jerusalem. Yeah.
So the very fact that he even says that he's from Jerusalem may give us a little bit of a hint that this is going to be an opinion for people who are Jerusalem-like.
Right.
It may not be for everybody, but if you have a Jerusalem-ish kind of vein or stream in you,
right,
this may be something you may find interesting.
Right. And I think about what's unique about Jerusalem at the time he's speaking. This is the time when the Second Temple, I believe, was still around.
Yeah.
They're hosting a million people at least a few times a year.
Right.
So you really see this playing out through the entire Mishnah. Have your house open wide, right? Wide open. Have for everyone, because you're going to need to have that ability. You can't not let people in when all of the people of Israel come. Oh, no, you can't stay.
You may want to move.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's like the common practice is to host a lot of people.
Right.
And then afterwards, and have poor people in your home. Don't, if I continue just, creatively, don't only let in the rich, maybe let in everyone. And then what's going to happen? There's going to be lots of women there. So in order for you to, kind of make this work, for you to be hospitable, you got to set some pretty strict boundaries, more than someone living in Tzlida, for example.
Right.
Which I don't even know where that is.
Right.
We'd have to set.
And by the way, that goes also for the idea for the women of the household. Here you are, you're the wife, or you're the daughter, you're a sister, you're an aunt, you're a mother, whatever you happen to be.
Yeah.
And your house is open wide to all these people coming in.
Right.
And this is giving you, again, this is giving you a leg to stand on that says, hey, no talking to me.
Yeah.
Know who you are. Fine. You're welcome in my home, but really you should be in the Beit Midrash. You should be in the house of study, studying Torah.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Right.
Interesting.
It's interesting. Maybe being in Jerusalem would lead you into that kind of school of thought.
Interesting. All right. Wonderful. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abba.
Please join me every week for new ideas, and let's share these secrets together. Shalom. I'm Shmuel Bowman.